Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, man, I'm really excited about this show today because I got a message from former Montana Congressman Denny Rehberg on Friday night. He was listening to this show. He heard us talk about doing away with the filibuster in the United States Senate. And he said, hey, I want to debate you guys. I want to debate you live on the air in defense of the filibuster. And I want your callers to call in. I want your callers to hammer me if they want to hammer me. No holds barred. And I was like, and so I got to thinking about it. Yeah, we need to do that one of these days. But then I thought, wait, no, we got to do it today because our 20-year-old guest producer, Finley Warden, is in the house today filling in for our friend Caden Bjornstad, who's enjoying some great, well-earned vacation days. So, Finley, yeah, we'll get to Congressman Rehberg next segment here, but we should probably recap some of our listeners who might have missed your commentary and mine regarding the filibuster. I remember you joined us on this show earlier this year, and you made the point that, look, Gen Z showed up for President Trump. Gen Z, the younger voters, showed up for the Republicans. But if they don't deliver, Gen Z may never show up for the Republicans ever again. And that led me to making my point, which is like, look, I don't want to see the filibuster go away. I understand the importance of the filibuster. I understand how much worse things would be in America right now had it not been for the filibuster. But at this juncture, as we approach America's 250th birthday, I believe we are at a make or break moment, not just for the Republican Party or President Trump. I think we're at a make or break moment for America. Finley, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, that's exactly right, Aaron. And people have to keep in mind that for my generation, Trump and the Republican Party are synonymous. We've never known a Republican Party that wasn't tied with Trump. We're in Trump's last term, and Gen Z voted for him in basically a landslide, because they were expecting real results on the issues that we're facing. And if Trump isn't able to deliver these results, especially through Congress, which is why we need to get rid of the filibuster, then there's a very good chance that we'll see Gen Z reject Republicans for a very, very long time. And we probably will not see Republicans elected for the foreseeable future.
Well, and that's why the argument in defense of the filibuster is, well, hey, if the Democrats take power again, you're going to like having the filibuster to have some, protections in place. But I think the argument that Finley and I made last week is if Republicans don't deliver, they will take power again. And they have already kicked any so-called moderate to the curb in the United States Senate. And so they have already made it very clear that if they take power again, they will do away with the filibuster anyway. And so why shouldn't the Republicans get rid of it now? Get the agenda across the finish line. And in the process, probably prevent the Democrats from taking back power, because the American people will respond to that accomplishment, to that achievement.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, you've gotten to hear my take. You've gotten to hear 20-year-old young Finley Warden's take on the filibuster. Now let's turn right to Montana Congressman, former Montana Congressman Denny Rehberg. Denny, great to have you on the show. And, where do you want to start?
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you. Thoroughly enjoyed Henry Kriegel, good friend. Americans for Prosperity were big in my political life when I ran against John Tester in 2012 and other things. But, the point is protecting the minority rights. Now, there's nobody listening to you right now that has lived in Montana longer than my family. They got here in 1863. I'd love to have somebody call in and say, well, we get there before you. and I'll buy them a steak dinner at Sealy Lake, Lindy's, or Borey's, or we'll even go up to Malta.
You've got a lot of our Native American friends that'll be enjoying some dinner with Denny, it sounds like.
Not exactly. My family actually, my mom's side came from Lane Deer. My mom was actually born on a ranch outside of Lane Deer.
That's right.
So we go back that far. However, minority rights. So let me tell you a quick story. My dad was on the reapportionment commission over the years. He was appointed for two terms, and he wanted to do the conservative thing and cut back the number of state representatives to save money, as a good conservative Republican would do. And I said, Dad, that's stupid, because all you're going to do is you're going to consolidate the power in Billings, Great Falls, Missoula, Bozeman, Helena, blah, blah, blah. And he said, oh, yeah, didn't think of that, you know. And so would we have had a Bigot Smith from Dagmar, Montana? Would we have had some of the others, Matt Hemsel from Kalispell? Maybe, maybe not. John Harp, you know, we can go on down the list. Minority rights matter to, you know, districts that are underrepresented because they don't have the population. And so, yeah, it sounds like a good idea. I love Donald Trump. I will support him to the end. But he's naive and fairly selfish in wanting to have complete power over the course of the next 3 years of his term, because I guarantee after he's done representing the state of Montana, the United States, the pendulum will swing back. And I can give you examples. I served in the state legislature 50-50 back in 1985. In the next session, we had the majority, and we pooped it away. In the next session, we lost the majority, and the Democrats were in control. So I guarantee ebbs and flows, power shifts back and forth based upon the emotions of the nation and the state, and you will rue the day when you give away the opportunity for the minority to have a voice.
But the Republicans already effectively did away with the filibuster when it comes to judges, Supreme Court nominations, etc. That seems to have worked out just fine. Look, we just saw a 43-day federal government shutdown. The Democrats shut down the federal government. There are so many people out there that don't realize that it takes 60 votes to overcome a hurdle, which is why the Democrats were at fault for the government shutdown. But the fact is that the Democrats are going to use that to block anything, any of President Trump's main agenda items right now. We're over $36 trillion in debt. The only way we will ever peel that debt back down is if we do away with the filibuster.
Yep. And I served in a Republican majority in 2001. The emotions, and I heard it earlier on your program, the Senate is the sausage that cools the emotions. And I remember being in the majority. I remember being in the minority. And I remember being back in the majority. And let me ask a single listener of your program, do they like Obamacare? And they will all say no. And the reason why it occurred in the first place, and I was there because I can show you the press clippings of me introducing legislation to defund Obamacare. I can tell you that the last time the United States Senate had a veto-proof Senate, House, and presidency gave us Obamacare. Now, do you want more Obamacares? Fine. You know, I'm okay with that. You know, it was interesting to me to watch the accolades of Dick Cheney and his funeral. However, Dick Cheney kind of didn't tell me the truth when I was in the cloakroom of the House of Representatives saying there was weapons of mass destruction. And Aaron, you served over in Afghanistan, Iraq. I don't need to repeat your history, but I guarantee that we got into a conflict that was not based on facts, because the intelligence community did not necessarily have the facts on their side.
So that's why you would argue that this is why you need more of an ability to say whoa vis-a-vis the filibuster. Yeah, Obamacare is one example of why we need things like the filibuster. Imagine how, although we're still stuck with in saddle with Obamacare, of course, but there's other examples of how much further they would have gone had the filibuster not been in place. Hold that thought.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. I think former Congressman Denny Rehberg is going to be able to stick around with us for the full hour because, yeah, we want to hear his take on the filibuster. We want to hear your take as well. We'll start to get to your phone calls here in just a second at 406-294-0970. But first, I want to hear 20-year-old Finley Warden's reaction or response to what Congressman Rehberg just shared. Finley, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Hey, Aaron, you might want to mute yourself so we can – there we go.
Okay, perfect. I'm worried there might be an echo.
Yeah, well, Congressman Rehberg, I hear you. I understand that the filibuster gives us protection when we're in the minority, but what it doesn't do, it may give us a voice when we're in the minority, but it also doesn't give us a voice when we're in the majority. Again, Trump was elected on making true change, and he is currently he's just signing executive orders, really, to get his agenda through. And we know the first thing when an ex-president comes through, the first thing that happens is all of those executive orders get immediately overturned. And I agree with you. I don't like Obamacare either. But what I also do like is overturning Obamacare. If you remember, right, we would have overturned Obamacare if it wasn't for one vote. We were one vote away. So if we didn't have the filibuster, we would have gotten that done with too. So it's all about having the right balance. And the balance needs to be that when we have a president who has a majority in both houses, they just need to be able to push through a legislative agenda. Otherwise, there's no point in really having a legislative system.
All right. And then now let me actually turn right back to Congressman Rehberg. Denny, I don't think you were able to probably hear him, or otherwise we would have had an echo there. So I'll just quickly start. Unless you were able to hear him, you weren't able to hear him, were you?
No, not at all. But I want to give you a word that probably Finley wouldn't know. It's called paraphrase.
Oh, no, he knows that. But
Does he?
He'd be more likely to know something than I would. Yeah.
Well, I always said that I made the top half of the class possible at West High. If it hadn't been for me, there'd have been no valedictorian or salutatorian. I made the top half possible.
You enjoyed watching others succeed. So to paraphrase here, he says, I also don't like Obamacare, but without the filibuster, we would have had the ability to overturn Obamacare. And effectively, he's all about protecting the minority voice. But what we have done is we have wiped away the majority voice. Can't we still have protections in place for minority rights, but yet not totally strip away the majority vote, the majority voice altogether, which is what the filibuster has effectively done at this point?
So you want the vagaries of the emotions of the nation swing back and forth, giving the people from San Francisco, New York City, Portland more power when they're in the majority, because they will be again. Now, let me give you an example. When I first became a state representative in 1985, the House of Representatives in Montana was split 50 Republicans, 50 Democrats. So I'll ask Finley, why did your mom and dad elect Max Baucus, John Melcher, Ted Swindon, on and on and on? Why did you? I'm putting it back on him.
Well, now you're talking about just the older generations in particular, not necessarily his parents, I would imagine. Okay, well, now I got to let Finley respond to that one before I get to State Senator John Fuller on the phone lines here. All right, Finley, go ahead, because my quick response to Denny there would be, they've already got all the power. They've already effectively gotten everything they've wanted. The sex change surgeries in other countries being funded by us, an illegal alien invasion which will permanently reshape America unless we do something about it. America is at a turning point. This is where we make or break this country right now as we approach our 250th birthday. And if the Republicans can't get their agenda across the finish line, our nation could effectively go down the path of socialism, if you ask me. But Finley, your thoughts?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the primary way we're going down the path of socialism is because this is just a fact. Democrats, not just Democrats, but the far left, control the majority of the institutional power in our country. Republicans and people on the right do not control that. The only domain where we have power is in the United States government through electoral politics. This is our opportunity to use the power that the right has, because the left is already effectively fighting against us in all other domains and all other institutions in the United States outside of the United States government. This is why I'm so passionate about this, is because this is the only domain we have to fight in. We elected Trump, we elected Republicans to both chambers because people wanted to see results. People wanted to see Republicans fight back against what's going on in the rest of our country. So it needs to get done. We need to see results, or else we will never have an opportunity like this ever again.
All right. Well said. Let's go to State Senator John Fuller on the phone lines here. And Denny, I think you'll be able to hear our callers. It's just the studio feedback that gives us some issues. So thanks for bearing with us on that one. Senator Fuller, great to hear from you. What's your thoughts?
Well, thank you, Aaron. Thank you. And thank you, Congressman Reber, an old friend. I remember when he first ran for office, and he had the Speaker of the House at the time come in to help kick off his campaign. So I'm an old friend, and with all due respect, I have to disagree with him today. And here's why. As many of my constituents know, and certainly you guys know, that I spent 45 years assaulting the windmills of ignorance as a public high school teacher, government, and economics and history. And for most of those years, I taught that the filibuster was exactly what Congressman Reberg said it was, and that is a defense of the minority rights. However, have you ever noticed that recently, within the last 15 years or so, Democrats don't care how extreme they get in their efforts to try to accomplish their goals? And that's because they want to win. They want to win, and they're willing to take losses in the future to make sure that they accomplish their political objectives. Consequently, as an old wrestling coach, this debate, with all due respect, Congressman, reminds me of when I would have wrestlers that would try to go out and not make mistakes. They would play defense all the time and not make mistakes, and they would fail to do what was necessary in order to win. And I'm a winner.
Great
like
analogy. And they were focused. Yeah, that is a great analogy right there. Yeah, let me hold it right there, unfortunately, Senator Fuller, but definitely call back again later this week to add more, because we got other callers on the line we got to get to here as well.
But,
yeah, Denny,
but
your
that's
thoughts.
Not a good argument. That's not a good argument. Whose fault was it that your wrestlers did not have the desire to win?
Well, okay. Yeah. Go ahead and give the answer. Just to save time, I got to get to other callers. So yeah, just go ahead.
It was the wrestlers. It might have been the coach. You have to teach your people to want to win, and so a level playing field, politics, sports, level playing field. You put your best people up. We put our best people up. To the victor goes the spoils. And that's where the Democrats beat us, because we don't play. play by the same rules.
So, but Denny, do you feel like that we are at a turning point for America, that our country is going to go one direction? You don't feel like this is a turning point? I mean, I know every election feels like it's the most. You don't think that our country is either going to go further down the path of socialism? I mean, we got $36 trillion in debt. We just had an open borders, illegal alien invasion of this country. They are fighting ICE agents in the streets. If the Democrats have already made it clear that they're going to do away with the filibuster when they take power. We could see D.C. turned into a state and so much more. And why would people vote for the Republicans ever again if the Republicans don't deliver here in these 2 years, especially?
They don't have to, but I got to stop you there. I get really tired of people running a campaign saying this is the single most important election coming up. If you don't elect me, all hell's going to break loose. We're going to head down the path of destruction. Let me give you a quick story. My great-grandfather, A.J. Reberg, born in Silver City, 1873, lectured my dad. My dad was a dairy management graduate out of Montana State. And so my great-grandfather said, Jack, why can't you make a living on 200 dairy cattle like I did on Reberg Lane in Billings, Montana? And you know what my dad said? Because you didn't have an income tax. Your generation created an income tax. Good point.
But Denny, don't you think all hell has already broken loose? I mean, we've got
for your hell,
open borders invasion. I mean, look at the massive spike in inflation over the last 4 years. Young people can't even get into affordable homes all across America. We've got a communist, outright communist, who was just elected mayor of New York City. I mean, hasn't hell already broken loose?
Maybe yes, maybe no. Is it now incumbent upon us as right-thinking Republicans, well, conservatives, you know, or not moderates, to make the point that we can't allow this to occur going into the future? My dad, my grandfather, my great-grandfather all thought that their generation was destroying America, and we're still here. Now, I'm not suggesting
it's an ongoing battle, that's for sure, but a battle nonetheless. I mean,
it's your battle.
That's right. That's why we're fighting so aggressively right now. I think that's why Finley's fighting so aggressively right now as well. All right, Denny, hold that thought. Hey, we've got several great callers on the phone lines. Tom and Polson, I promise you'll be first up after the break if you can stand by. Tom and Polson, stand by. And then we'll probably do a lightning round and sneak in a few callers just so we can get through a few callers, and then we'll have Denny respond to those callers and have 20-year-old Finley Warden jump in on the conversation as well. Very smart young man. Okay, back after this.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
President Trump this past Thursday lifted the 40% tariffs he imposed in July on Brazilian food imports, reversing a policy that has raised U.S. consumer costs and strained agricultural markets, the administration says. The announcement removes duties on Brazilian beef, coffee, cocoa, and fruit. The rollback follows similar action last week, easing food tariffs from other countries as the administration reassesses trade measures that contributed to grocery prices. Brazil supplies about one-third of U.S. coffee and has become a major source of beef for the U.S. market. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick said the president aimed to wipe the slate clean after earlier broad tariff threats, calling the step a shift toward affordability. Groups like the U.S. Cattlemen's Association are urging the administration to prioritize U.S. beef producers. They said in a statement that, quote, the most recent announcement on the cancellation of 40% tariffs following the earlier removal of the 10% reciprocal tariff marks an inconsistent and unsafe trade strategy. They continued saying that easing restrictions with Brazil, a country with documented history of forced labor, deforestation, and product integrity issues in the beef sector, is alarming. They concluded saying these actions signal an increase in administrative focus on sourcing foreign beef precisely when domestic producers need clear signals for reinvestment. I'm Lane Nordlund.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Oh, now this is pretty funny. Finley, he'll hop on the microphone here in a second, but we want to get through several great callers on the phone lines as well here. But he says, hey, for the record, my parents and grandparents never voted for Melcher, Baucus, or Tester. And I said, well, yeah, I think he was speaking generally in terms of generations. But, yeah, you still wouldn't want that false claim hanging over the family name, would you? That's pretty funny. Let's go to Tom and Polson. Tom, what's your thoughts on the filibuster? Thanks for staying with us.
Okay. First of all, I'd like to point out that Congressman Rehberger is very correct when he says it's the emotion of the thing, because the emotion is the problem. That is how liberals get most of their stuff through, is making it an emotional issue rather than a logical issue. Anyway, what I'd like to point out is that about 110 years ago, the states of this country blew it when they ratified the 17th Amendment. The founders had it correct that the states should be appointing the senators on the national level. It should not be a direct election, because then the state has control over those two members in the Senate. Whether you do what the state wants, or you are back to Montana, or whatever state they're originally from. The other thing I would put on that is, when you did that, you also introduced the possibility of all sorts of illegal funding for politicians, because now they have to get money to run, where before, with the directors, with the appointment of senators, they had to please the state. It wasn't a matter of going out and raising funds.
That's right. They were reined in by the state legislatures, mm-hmm. effectively, instead of the emotions of the electorate. That was the idea of being that emotional counterweight. And, yeah, we've seen, how much out-of-state spending have we seen impact so many of these big U.S. Senate races now instead? Yeah, great point, Tom. Thanks for that phone call. Let's see. Finley, go ahead and send us our next caller, whoever was next in line. We'll try to do a bit of a lightning round here, and then get your take as well. The other thing that I wanted to say with regard to the protection of minority rights, I just went in and asked Grok real fast. Okay, even if the filibuster were done away with, what minority rights would still remain in the United States Senate? And there's a laundry list of minority protections that are still in place, even without the filibuster rule. So I think that's just something else to throw into consideration here as well. Perry in Columbus next up on the phone lines. Perry, what's your thoughts on the filibuster?
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Montana Talks family. I have to take issue with Mr. Rehberger's position because, I'm old enough to remember, Denny, when the Senate was actually had some measure of, used to be called the greatest deliberative body in the world. And I remember when there actually was actual deliberation instead of all this posturing and politicking and clawing each other up to try and stay in office. But those days have long gone. A ship has sailed. We are in a place now where we have to take the gloves off and make hay while the sun shines, to put it quickly, lightning round. There's no long explanation other than Finley Warden is right. He's smarter than most of us put together. And we have to be bold and take control of the reins. We've got them. The left is definitely not just playing games with us. They have all but announced their intention to destroy this country from within, and they're in the process right now. What part of that do you not understand? So there it is.
All right, Perry, thanks for the call. Let me sneak on one more caller, and then we'll have Denny kind of respond to all the above. Let's see. Finley, go ahead. Perry, thanks for the call. Let's go ahead and send us the next caller in line. I think, was it John in Kalispell? Yeah, here we go. John in Kalispell. John, what's your thoughts on the filibuster?
Hi, Aaron. Just as an old veteran and taught the Constitution, the difference between a pure democracy and a republic is rule by majority without tyranny to the minority. And getting rid of the filibuster is one of the biggest ones there is. I think that's a mistake in the long run. But on the other hand, there's a case to be made, and that is that when we put our Constitution together, we were a totally different people. We were an informed society that worked hard and were moral. So I believe that if you get rid of the filibuster, we're toast at some point, because it's these minority rules that's kept us alive. And on the other hand, if we don't, maybe we're toast anyway. Maybe it's time for a whole new government. But that's what we have to think about when we start taking this Constitution apart. And it's just a warning. I'm a Trump guy. I'm a constitutionalist. I think Republicans a lot of times are communists. I'm so doggone conservative. And I love this country, and I served it. And I say that with sincerity, and I thank you for the opportunity to say that on air. Thank you, Aaron.
Hey, no, thank you.
You're a great man, and you do great stuff.
Thank you, as one of our older veterans, as you put it, thank you for giving all of us the freedom to have this opportunity. So thank you. Thanks for your service, and welcome home. You know, Denny, actually, that's a good pivot back to you now, former Congressman Denny Rehberg, and then we'll hear more thoughts from Finley as well, plus more callers on the line. I had a great conversation with a mutual friend of ours, prominent Montana conservative, very conservative guy, but I need to reach out and get permission to share his name. But he said, look, we've got to educate people on the fact that it needs 60 votes, because the people have got to know that they've got to deliver us larger majorities in order to overcome things like the filibusters. So I think just by the very nature of us having this debate, hopefully we're educating people about that thing right now.
Okay, Aaron, back to an earlier point. Is the last time the United States Congress, House, Senate, and presidency were a filibuster-proof, and we got Obamacare. How'd you like that? Do you agree with Obamacare? No, we don't. But that's what it got us the last time we had that kind of situation. Now, I'll take a little bit of umbrage with a prior caller who I totally agree with, because I agree Donald Trump is a great president. However, I will also tell you that as your United States congressman, I voted because of the emotions of the 2001 attack. I voted for the Patriot Act and the Real ID. And you know what? It got used against me in a race against Tester in 2012. You said that the Patriot Act was never going to be used against us. Okay, well, Dick Cheney and George Bush said it would never be used against us. Guess what? It was.
It was used against Trump.
Yeah, so we make the same mistakes that they do. It's easy for us to criticize the Democrats. And I also want to bring up a point that was made earlier. You kind of dumped, or not you, but a caller dumped on the Butte Democrats. You know what? The Butte Democrats worked with me in 1989 to lower the personal property tax on businesses for the first time in the history of the personal property tax in Montana. And as a result, Bobby Pavlovich from Butte and Fritz Daly from Butte lost their chairmanships when the Democrats got controlled in the next session. So, you know, there are coalitions that are built.
We should do an entire show focused on Butte Democrats, because I think Butte eventually is going to turn because, you know, folks there are such good conservative, hardworking folks, and their very jobs, their very union jobs have just been under attack by the Democrats and their buddies in the environmental movement. Finley Warden, we got 1 minute before we go to the next break. Finley, give us your thoughts on what you've been hearing thus far.
Well, I am glad to hear that people are kind of largely in agreement that we need to see an end to the filibuster. I mean, I'm only 20 years old. That's how long I've seen the system go on. And even I can tell after my 20 years that it needs to go if we want to see our Republicans be successful. So I'm heartened to hear that we seem to have the masses on our side.
I was actually just going to joke with Denny here. If Denny feels like the guy standing at the dam with his finger in the dike, you know, like waiting for the dam to just burst and then the water just overcome him with regard to, you know, it. I mean, even Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent had a line over the weekend where he said, look, if Democrats do this again, if they shut down the government to block these spending bills at the end of January, he thinks it's time for Republicans to abrogate the filibuster, to stop the filibuster. That was Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent on, let's see which program he was on, Meet the Press with Kirsten Welker. Okay, we're going to get to, who do we have next on the phone lines? Is it, Bob in Bozeman. Bob, stand by. You will be first up right after the break. And then we've got a couple other callers on top of that. So we'll try to do another lightning round. Stand by.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga. My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
Montana Talk.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let me try to do a lightning round and get to every single one of these callers with us on the phone lines already. And then we still got former Montana Congressman Denny Rehberg on the line with us as well here. 20-year-old Finley Warden back in the studios. Let's go to Bob in Bozeman. Bob, what's your thoughts on the filibuster?
Well, I challenge all three of you because you're all working from the lack of knowledge of your constitutional law. The word filibuster comes from the word talk a bill to death. Prior to the 60 rule, there was a cloture vote. It required 66 votes to stop filibuster. Prior to that, everybody could talk as long as they could talk, and that's why it was called talk the bill to death. The 60 rule vote is a cheap man's hide, where nobody has to stand up and say they're actually opposed to something. They hide in the weeds. You simply vote. So mine is getting rid of it, as Representative Rehberg pointed out. It didn't save anybody in the Obamacare. If we had the old original filibuster, 40 Republicans could have stood up and talked that bill to death. So there is no protection in this 60 rule.
That's a really good point. That's a great point. Yeah, well said there in terms of, well, why don't they at least go back to the way the filibuster was always supposed to be and not this Frankenstein that it is today. Great point, Bob. Thank you so much for calling in. And, calling all of us on that one. That's a great point that needed to be made. Okay, next up, let's go to, I think we got Mike. Mike in Bozeman. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, Denny, I'm about your age, and I loved every bit of your time in office. But real quick, just like incumbents are hard to beat once they get their foot in the door, the same with Obamacare, it's been almost impossible to get rid of. I think we need to get rid of the filibuster so that Trump's executive orders can be turned into legislation, make the Democrats try to overturn these new laws with their own legislation instead of the courts doing it for them. And they will get rid of the filibuster so they can do the same thing, so they can enact legislation so they've got their foot in the door and make it harder to get rid of in the future.
Yeah, it seems like they get everything they want, and then any effort to try to peel it back and restore some sanity is like, oh, don't have enough votes, sorry, right?
Well, then the Democrats will overturn these executive orders with their own. So we need to get rid of the filibuster so that this can become law. Then it's that much tougher for them to mess with the American dream here.
So, all right. Well, that's all I got. Well said, Mike. Thanks for the call. I agree, at least. I think Finley does as well. All right. Next up, let's go. We've got who here? We've got Paul in Bozeman. Paul, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I might agree with Dennis Reberg if it weren't for the fact that we've got an open primary in Montana. We enjoy the tyranny of the minority right now, because we've got lots of Democrats in our party. We call them rhinos. If we had a closed primary in Montana, we wouldn't have those, and I'll bet there's other states that have that same problem.
All right, Paul, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. We've only got now a couple minutes left to go here. Let's throw it back to former Montana Congressman Denny Reberg. Denny, what else do you want to say that you haven't gotten to say yet, or maybe respond to one of the three callers here?
Well, let me point out campaign finance, that pesky constitution that allows anybody to contribute as much as they want to. It works for us, it works against us, but that damn constitution gets in the way. And, I can't answer the question, but there's no such thing, and listen very carefully, there's no such thing as a prompt under our form of government. You can change the Constitution. You can go up, have a Constitutional Convention at the national level. You can have one at the state level. There's no such thing as a promise. And that's the hard thing for most of us to remember and recognize, is that it ebbs and flows. Well, do I like the way the country is heading? No. Do I have the opportunity to have my voice heard? Yes. And incumbent upon me to spend as much time as I possibly can going door to door, writing a check, sending out a letter. We have that ability, and we don't want to change that.
What about going back to the way the filibuster was always supposed to be and not how it is now? I mean, even like the appropriations process, they're using the appropriations process they switched to in the 1970s. Why don't they change that process too? Boy, I just threw two very big questions at you. But maybe why not go back to the way the filibuster always was?
That's a good question. That's a good question to ask, because I was chairman of an appropriations committee, and I was in charge of labor, health and human services, and education. I was the chairman. My budget was $845 billion. I had Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, Pell Grants, you name it. And was I able to accomplish as much as I wanted to? No. Why? Because the Democrats thought I was spending too much money in my committee, and the Republicans, Jeff Flake and Cynthia Lummis, thought I was spending, you know, inappropriately. And so nothing ever happened. So you have the social conservatives, you have the fiscal conservative, you have the Democrats up against you. That's the legislative process. That's called appropriation.
I wonder that too. Yeah, the reason why I threw that out there is because I'd love to get your take, but we're out of time for today, though. Danny, greatly appreciate having you on the show today. This was a ton of fun. Finley Warden, thanks for all your work. Thanks for your time, and big thanks to Caden. Glad you got to enjoy some time off as well. But yeah, I'd just love to get your take on how effective this new Republican Congress is right now. It seems like they're holding together, kind of like back in the 90s almost.